الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أنس إن استطعت أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لأحد فافعل فإن ذلك من سنتي ومن أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and sent us into this world for the sole purpose of devoting ourselves to him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have not created the jinns and the humans but so that they worship me. So that they devote their lives, they devote their wealth, they devote everything for me. I have created them for ibadah. I have created them to become my ibad. My servants. I have created them only with this purpose that they live lives of ibad, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who was chosen for the highest status of abdiyat, the one who was the super abd, the best abd, the greatest abd that the world had seen was none but our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Every second of his life was full of devotion and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. And every Nabi is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is ma'soom, he is immune from making mistakes. He is immune from committing disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for as long as he remains in that disobedience, he is not the abd and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, are the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense. So they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout their lives, the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment of their lives, every second of their lives is nothing but devotion, worship, abdiyat, ibadah, and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from among the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, the Sayyid and the leader is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imagine the status of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as far as this status is concerned. It is a great status that a person becomes abd. Abd. A person becomes the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person totally submits his desires to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment of his life, his attention is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does my creator desire me to behave in the circumstance that I am in? When I am in the masjid, what pleases my creator, what displeases my creator? I will behave accordingly. When I am outside in the marketplace, the focus is still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does my creator desire from me? What does he like? What does he dislike? And I will behave accordingly. When I am alone in solitude, my focus is Allah. How does he want me to behave in this circumstance? And when I am in public, again my focus is Allah. When I am talking to somebody, my focus is Allah. When I am listening to somebody, my focus is Allah. Focus is Allah. How does my creator want me to behave? What does he like? What does he dislike? I cannot say whatever I desire. I want to say what my creator desires. I do not want to entertain those thoughts whilst speaking, whilst listening, whilst reciting the nasheed, whilst leading the salat, whilst reciting the glorious Quran. I do not want to entertain those thoughts which my creator dislikes. I will only entertain those thoughts which my creator likes, and that is ikhlas, sincerity. I am reciting the nasheed, I am reciting the Quran, I am lecturing, I am leading the salat, I am performing the salat, I am calling out the azan only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is what my creator likes. Abd. Abd. तेरी जुदा पसंद मेरी जुदा पसंद, तेरी जुदा पसंद मेरी जुदा पसंद, योर लाइकिंग इज डिफरेंट फ्रॉम माई लाइकिंग, योर डिजायर इज डिफरेंट माई डिजायर इज डिफरेंट. वॉट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन योर डिजायर माई डिजायर, योर गोल माई गोल, वॉट इज द डिफरेंस? तेरी जुदा पसंद मेरी जुदा पसंद, तुझे खुद ही पसंद मुझे खुदा पसंद. Your desire is different, my desire is different. Your desire is what you desire. Your goal is what you desire. Your objective is what you desire. My goal, my objective is what my Creator desires. Abdiyat. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam were complete ibad. Their nafs could not overpower them because every Nabi has nafs-e mutmainna. Every Nabi has a nafs-e mutmainna, and nafs-e mutmainna goes hand in hand with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafs-e mutmainna does not contradict the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafs-e lawwama will, nafs-e ammara will. Nafs-e mutmainna will only follow the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafs-e lawwama will oppose, nafs-e ammara will oppose the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafs-e mutmainna will never oppose the will of Allah. It will never oppose the desire of Allah. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, that person has acquired falah. Falah. Translating the word falah with success does not do justice. Falah is not success. Falah. Indeed, that person has acquired falah, who has purified his soul. Because when a person purifies his soul, his nafs has become mutmainna. Or the other way around, the other way around, a nafs can only become mutmainna if it is purified. So when the nafs is purified, it becomes mutmainna, and when it becomes mutmainna, it will never oppose the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it does not oppose the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will become virtually nature to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and such a person will definitely become successful in this world and the hereafter. The nufus of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam was nothing but mutmainna. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had safeguarded all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam from the wasawis of shaitan, from the whispers of shaitan, from the snares and deceits of shaitan. So no nafs, no shaitan. When there is no nafs, when there is no shaitan, a person will only do that which pleases Allah. And when a person does only that which pleases Allah, that means he has totally become subservient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can say that he has truly become the abd and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam are the ibad and the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense. And from amongst all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, despite all of them being complete, no one can compete in abdiyat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. abdiyat, to become the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become subservient to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great status. Becoming the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great status. Great status. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted two great statuses by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One was abdiyat, the other was risalat and nubuwat. Risalat, apostleship, nubuwat, prophethood, a great status. But that wasn't his only status. The other status was abdiyat. Whenever he would write letters to other people, then the sunnah method of writing a letter is to write the letter of, write the name of the one writing the letter. So that at the outset the person knows whose letter he is reading. If we don't know whose letter we are reading, sometimes we are inconvenienced. So this is the sunnah. The sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in also, when writing a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would first write their name. We find both methods in the lives of the sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Some would write the name of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first to so and so, and write at the end from so and so. We find those sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in also who would write their names first and thereafter the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mean from so and so to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was not disrespectful. It was to save Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from the slightest of inconveniences. So whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would write a letter, the sunnah method is that you write your name first. So he would write min Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it was necessary to let the people know that he was the Rasul of Allah, because he is inviting them towards his risalat. He is inviting them to accept his prophethood. So he would write Rasulillah, min Muhammadin Rasulillah, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. But his method was min Muhammadin Abdillahi wa Rasulihi, because Abdiyat is a higher status than Risalat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created the human to become Rasul. He has not created the human to become a Nabi. He has created the human to become Abd. So if a person becomes the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with becoming the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also becomes the Rasul of Allah and the Nabi of Allah. It is a plus point. Nurun ala nur. But if a person is unable to become the Rasul of Allah, and he is unable to become the Nabi of Allah, but he becomes the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is still successful, because that was the goal of his creation. That was the purpose of his creation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always write Abd first, min Muhammadin Abdillahi wa Rasulihi, that the purpose of my creation was first Abdiyat and then Risalat. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam a very great favor, like the favor of Mi'raj, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him to the heavens, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a split of a second, not even a second, traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis, making several stops in between, performing two rakat at every stop. Baitul Maqdis, he led the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam in salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered all the approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam for him. And then he traveled to the first heaven, second heaven, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. He met several Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. He communicated with them. And then he reached Sidratul Muntaha, after which he was left alone by Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, because only our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had reached that status where he could cross the Sidratul Muntaha. And he was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being granted the blessing of witnessing the lawh, witnessing the qalam, witnessing Jannah, witnessing Jahannam, and eventually, finally, ultimately, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter returning with the gift of Mi'raj. Gift of Mi'raj. And as a result of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam continually asking him to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for a deduction in the number of salat, he returns again 5-6 times to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he comes to Musa alayhi salam, he returns again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and finally he arrives in Baytul Maqdis. From Baytul Maqdis to Makkah Mukarrama, he finds himself in Hatim, and from Hatim he reaches the house of his cousin sister Umme Hani radiyallahu anha, from where he had departed. He said that when I entered the house of my cousin Umme Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha, then the door that I had left closing behind me was still where it was. It was still closing. It had not closed. In a split of a second, everything happened. Greatest miracle bestowed to any Nabi other than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Nobody was granted such a great miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this miracle. Subhanalladhi asara. Glory be to who? He took our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam during the night. During a part of the night. Laylan. Min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. In a part of the night this happened. A great miracle. A great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that glory be to who? Glory be to he who took his Rasul, or who took his Nabi, or who took the Sayyidul Mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the status of abdiyat. Glory be to he who took his abd laylan in a part of the night for Mi'raj and for Isra. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed revelations to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. He communicated with all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam through Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted certain Anbiya suhuf, certain Anbiya kutub. From amongst the kutub, from amongst the books that he has revealed, the well-known books are Tawrat, Zabur, Injil and Quran. Every kitab and every book was the kitab of Allah. It is only Quran which is, whilst being the kitab of Allah, it is also the kalam of Allah. It is the word of Allah. So revealing this great book to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great favor. But Allah does not say that all praises be to Allah who revealed his book to his Rasul. or to the leader of the Anbiya? No. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something great, this is the attribute and this is the quality of his Nabi that he mentions, Abd, Abd. Because there was no one who was more greater in Abdiyat than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And a person becomes Abd by becoming subservient in everything he does, in everything he says, in everything he thinks. So he thinks according to the desire of his creator, he speaks according to the desire of his creator, and he does according to the desire of his creator. So there is no one more perfect, there is no one more complete in this attribute, in this quality of abdiyat than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And those people who study the life of this greatest abd, who study the seerah of this greatest abd, those people who understand the sayings of this greatest abd, those people who study the actions of this greatest abd, and thereafter who copy the life of this greatest abd, imagine their quality of abdiyat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can one become the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who can be called the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense? The one who follows the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the greatest achievement. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was abd. If he was the abd, then he did everything, he said everything according to the wishes of the creator. And if we copy him, then we will be doing everything according to the wishes of the creator. And as a result, we will also become the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest achievement, that we become the followers of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in as many things as possible. Teri mi'raj ke tu loho kalam tak pahuncha. This was your mi'raj. This was your mi'raj. Teri mi'raj. This was your achievement. This was your mi'raj. That you left Makkah Mukarrama, you reached Baytul Maqdis, you visited the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, seventh heaven. You reached Sidratul Muntaha, you crossed Sidratul Muntaha. You saw Jannat, you saw Jahannam, you saw Malaika. You met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your mi'raj. So what is my mi'raj? As your ummati. Teri mi'raj ke tu loho kalam tak pahuncha. Meri mi'raj ke main tere kadam tak pahuncha. Your greatest achievement was that you were honored with mi'raj. My greatest achievement is that I find your footsteps and I follow in your footsteps and I copy your life. Because if I do that, then I will also become a perfect abd. The more I copy you, the more perfect abd I will become. If I copy you 50%, I will be 50% abd. If I copy you 75%, I will be 75% abd. And if I copy you 99%, I will be 99% abd. And if I copy you 100%, I will become 100% abd. He was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he was a perfect abd. He was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habibullah. Habibullah. One day sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were sitting in a gathering outside the quarters of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and they were talking amongst themselves, and one person said, "Ajaban lillahi ta'ala ittakhadha min ibadihi khalila." How wonderful! Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen a servant from amongst his servant, and he made him his khalil. "Ajaban lillahi ta'ala ittakhadha min ibadihi khalila." How wonderful! He chose Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam for his khullat, and he made him his khalil, his friend. The other said, "Ajaban lillahi ta'ala ittakhadha min ibadihi safiyya." Adam safiyullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose one of his servants to become the safi of Allah. The third said, "Ajaban lillahi ta'ala ittakhadha min ibadihi najiyya." The fourth said, "Ajaban lillahi ta'ala ittakhadha min ibadihi ruha." How wonderful! Allah made Ibrahim his khalil, Allah made Nuh Naji, and Allah made Adam Safi, and Allah made Isa Ruh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was listening to this conversation of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. He emerged from his quarters and he said that, "I have heard your conversation. Now listen to me. Amma sahibukum hada." This friend of yours, this companion of yours, this Nabi, "Amma sahibukum hada fa ana habibullah." He is the habib of Allah. He is the beloved of Allah. He is the beloved of Allah. He was so complete in his abdiyat that Allah became so happy with him that he made him habibullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that anybody who emulates you, he will also reach that status of abdiyat whereby he will also become habibullah. What does the Quran say? "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni." If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow in my footsteps. "Yuhibbukum Allah." Allah will make you his beloved. Allah will make you his beloved. Nakshe kadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. Hakim Akhtar sahib rahimahullah ta'ala says, "Nakshe kadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. The footprints of our beloved nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the path leading to jannah. Just look for his footprints and carry on walking, copying those footprints, and you will find yourself in Jannah. Nakshe kadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. The path of sunnah connects a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who follows the way of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَسْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi that a person wanting to acquire my closeness, my proximity, my nearness, my proximity, my closeness, does not do so with anything which is more beloved to me than what I have made compulsory upon him. Fard, wajib, and abstaining from haram and makruhat tahrimiya. This is compulsory. Fard is compulsory, wajib is compulsory, abstaining from haram is compulsory, abstaining from makruhat-e-tahrimiya is compulsory. So when a person becomes subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this extent, that I will always make sure that I do not neglect farz, I do not neglect wajib, and I will make sure that I do not indulge in haram or makruh-e-tahrimi. And he holds fast to this resolution. No, this is farz.
Farz. Farz is farz. How can I neglect farz? No, this is wajib. How can I neglect wajib? I am in India, I am in Pakistan, I am in another country, I am traveling by coach. And I ask the driver if he can hold on for 5 minutes, I need to perform salat. And the driver says, no, I can't wait for you. Then the bus can go, coach can go, but I cannot miss my farz. Farz. Farz is farz. Wajib is wajib. Haram. No, I cannot even come near haram. Makruhe tahrimi. I cannot even come near makruhe tahrimi. What is this? This is abdiyat. Because you are becoming subservient to Allah. Your nafs is saying, watch a movie, and then repent. You still have a long way to go. Your nafs is saying this, but what are you saying to your nafs? You are saying to your nafs, teri juda pasand, meri juda pasand. You are saying to your nafs, no, teri juda pasand. You like movie, meri juda pasand. I like to obey Allah. You like movie, I like to obey Allah. Tujhe khudi pasand, mujhe khuda pasand. No, I cannot disobey Allah. Haram. This is abdiyat. Carrying out a farz is abdiyat. Carrying out a wajib is abdiyat. Abstaining from haram is abdiyat. Abstaining from makruh tahrimi is abdiyat. And this is the first level of abdiyat. When a person becomes very regular as far as this abdiyat is concerned, the abdiyat of first level, then he becomes the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes the ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he does not stop there. وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي My servant, he continues to draw nearer and nearer to me, closer and closer to me. It is his desire to acquire more proximity, more closeness. So what does he do? He does not stop there. Farz, wajib, haram, makruh, tahrimi, no. Sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, adab, nawafil, optional deeds. Abstains from makruhat tanzihiya as much as possible. Wa ma zala abdi, my servant, he progresses. Farz is there, wajib is there. Abstinence from haram is there, abstinence from makruhat tahrimiya is there, and he has become the lover of Allah, the ashik of Allah, the muhib of Allah, but he does not stop there. He wants to acquire even more closeness, even more special relationship with me. So he continues controlling his nafs, and he subjugates his nafs. It's only sunnah? No. It's only mustahab? No. It's mustahab, it is sunnah, it is makruh-e-tanzihi. If I am able to overpower my nafs, if I am unable to, Allah will not become unhappy, because it is makruh-e-tanzihi. But if I am able to overpower my nafs, my Allah will become more happy with me. It's sunnah, only sunnah, no, it's sunnah, mustahab only, no, it's mustahab, desirable, something that Allah likes. It's only nafl? No, it's nafl. If I am able to overpower my nafs and carry out this nafl deed, my Allah will become very happy with me. So he reaches the peak of abdiyat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this abd, he subjugates his nafs, he carries out the fara'is, the wajibat, he abstains from haram and makruhat tahrimiya. And he continues subjugating his nafs until he has complete control over sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, and abstaining from makruhat tanzihiya. Allah says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Now he becomes Habibullah. Now he becomes the Habib of Allah. Now he becomes the Habib of Allah. Why? Because فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Now he is following the path of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in totality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, his ways, He was very particular in regard to fara'is. He was very particular in regard to wajibat. He was very particular in regard to abstaining from haram, abstaining from makruhati tahrimiya. And he would also abstain from makruhati tanzihiya. And he was very particular in regard to sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, adab. Only when the need arose, he would let go of nafla, he would let go of mustahab, he would let go of sunnah ghair muakkada. Otherwise, no. So when a servant desires to acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is this path. And when he totally subjugates his nafs, gets his nafs under control, and he has fara'id in his life, wajibat in his life, sunnah muakkada in his life, sunnah ghair muakkada in his life, mustahabbat in his life, nawafil in his life, he abstains from all the haram, all the makruhat tahrimiya, he tries at most to abstain from makruhat tanzihiya, fattabi'uni, he has complete ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when a person has complete ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yuhibbukumullah, Allah will make you his beloved. So Allah says, my servant abstains from haram, he carries out faraiz wajibat, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ, and he controls his desires, nafs, and makes himself subservient to those things as well which are not compulsory, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, then he becomes beloved to me. And when we become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen next? فَإِذَا أَحَبَبْتُهُ, Allah says, when I make him Habibullah, when he becomes beloved to me, كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, then I become his ears. I become his ears with which he hears. That means I control his ears, and he will not be able to do anything which is wrong. I supervise, because he is Habibullah now, he is my beloved. And my beloved cannot go in the fire of Jahannam. And that person will go in the fire of Jahannam who will do wrong, who will hear wrong, who will see wrong, who will say wrong. So I protect him from doing anything that is wrong that will lead him to Jannah. I become his ears with which he hears. وَبَسَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْسِرُ بِهَا, I become his eyes with which he observes. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, I become his feet with which he walks. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا, I become his hands with which he touches, with which he grips, with which he holds. And now, because he is my Habib, and I supervise him and I save him from anything that is detrimental to him in this world and the hereafter, he is abd of a very high stage. And when a person reaches the peak of that abdiyat, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْتِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِذَنَّهُ, if he asks from me, I grant it to him, and if he seeks my refuge, I grant him protection. Tum huye hasil to sab hasil huye. Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala says, tum huye hasil. If I am able to acquire you, and if I have acquired you, then I have acquired everything. Tum huye hasil to sab hasil huye. If I have acquired you, I have acquired everything, everything. Despite having nothing, I have everything. Tum huye hasil to sab hasil huye. Tum nahi hasil to kuch hasil nahi. And if I am not able to acquire you, then despite having everything, I don't possess anything. I don't have anything. If I don't have you, I don't have anything. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you, one is not mine, then nothing is mine. Tu ek mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. If you, one is mine, then everything is mine, the earth is mine, and the heaven is mine. And how can we acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we acquire Allah? How can we acquire? By becoming abd. And how can we become abd? By emulating our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqbal rahimahullah ta'ala says, Dr. Iqbal, ki Muhammad se wafa tune to hum tere hai. If you are loyal to Muhammad, then I am yours. Ki Muhammad se wafa tune. If you are loyal to Muhammad, then I am yours. Ye jahan cheez hai kya, loho kalam tere hai. You are concerned about this small world. Small world, very small world. You are worried about recession. Recession, everybody is worried about recession. Recession is a very small part of this small world. Recession is not the only part of our life. Recession is a very small part of this very small world. You are concerned about your household. You are concerned about your bills. You are concerned about your shopping. Not enough income. Inflation is rising. Everybody is worried. Everybody is concerned. There are so many unhealthy people. Unhealthy. This is a very small part of this small world. Very small part of this small world. And you are concerned about the Muslim community as a whole. And you are concerned about the human community as a whole. Because we Muslims have feeling for our Muslim brothers, and we Muslims have feeling for our human brothers also. You are concerned about the Middle East, you are concerned about America, you are concerned about the UK, you are concerned about Asia, you are concerned about this, you are concerned about this. And you are always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these petty things. Oh Allah, grant me good health. Yes, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pettiest of the things. And show our weakness, that I am so weak that even this smallest item I am asking from you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you have a problem in your shoes, and if you are going to the cobbler for him to mend your shoes, then before going to the cobbler, ask Allah to help you. Abdiyat should be there, but are we only concerned about these petty matters? Are we not concerned about the hereafter? Are we not concerned about our deen? Are we not concerned about our connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ki Muhammad se wafa tune to hum tere hai. If you are loyal to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I am yours. Allah says, I am yours. Ye jahan cheez hai kya? What is this world? This world, the problems of this world, what are they? Loho kalam tere hai. The loh and the kalam will become yours. The loh where the taqdeer is written and the pen which writes the taqdeer, that is yours. If you become abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you become subservient to Allah, if you become the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything is yours. And how do you become subservient to Allah? How do you become abd? By becoming loyal to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following in his footsteps. And if we follow in his footsteps, then everything is ours. Everything is ours. Because Allah will become ours. Sunnah. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. One who loves my way. One who loves my way. And whenever we discuss sunnah, sunnah is very important. Sunnah should be part of our lives. Sunnah should be in our lives. Sunnah, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah. What goes through our mind? Certain sunnats of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miswak. Dua before sleeping, dua after waking up, dua before eating, dua after eating, entering the masjid with the right foot, leaving the masjid with the left foot, sunnats. And we find books on sunnats. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says sunnah, Man ahabba sunnati. He does not refer to these sunnats only. Because during the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The amal were not categorized like they are today. Farz, wajib, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada. This is the effort of the fuqaha, the great scholars who have made everything easy for us. By studying the Quran and the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the emphasis and the warning regarding amal, the fuqaha have reached a consensus. This is fard, this is wajib, this is haram, this is makruh tahrimi. During the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah had only one meaning. Only one meaning, sunnah. Only one meaning, my way. Sunnati means my way, my style. Sunnah, my way, my style. How I sit, how I eat, how I walk, how I dress, how I perform salah, how I perform hajj, my life, my style. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ahabba sunnati, one who loves my way. And what is the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His way is, he would never omit a farb. He was never let go of wajib. He was very particular in regard to sunnah muakkada. Sunnah ghair muakkada once in a while. He would never even go near haram. He would never even go near makruhade tanzihiyya, makruhade tahrimiyya. And he would only carry out a makruhe tanzihi only with one purpose. Makruhe tanzihi only with one purpose. And that purpose was so that the ummah knows that this is not makruhe tahrimi, this is makruhe tanzihi. Ta'liman lil ummah. So sometimes he would carry out a makruhe tanzihi so that the sahaba would observe and say, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried this act out, despite it being detestable, that is a sign that it is not makruhe tahrimi, it is makruhe tanzihi. Otherwise he would not engage in makruhe tanzihi. This is his way. This is sunnah. This is what is sunnah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man ahabba sunnati, one who loves my way. Not only sunnah, that one who loves my sunnah means one who loves my miswak. No, this is the one who loves my whole way. And part of that whole way is miswak. Part of that whole way is masnoon supplications. Part of that whole way is to sit on the floor and eat. One who loves my whole way, faqad ahabbani, he loves me. Then he loves me. One who carries out so many sunan, but he does not perform his farz salah. He does not give zakah. How can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding this person, that one who loves my sunnats, he loves me? Because farz of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his greater sunnah than sunnah muakkada. Wajib is the greatest sunnah than sunnah muakkada. Sunnah muakkada is the greatest sunnah than sunnah ghair muakkada. And sunnah ghair muakkada is the greatest sunnah than mustahab. The whole deen is sunnah. Man ahabba sunnati, one who loves my sunnah, one who loves my way, faqad ahabbani, he has loved me. He has shown, he has proved it to the world that I love my Nabi. It is for this reason you see everything in my life. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And one who loves me to this extent that he emulates me in fara'id, in wajibat, in sunnah muakkada, in sunnah ghair muakkada, in mustahabbat, he will be with me in Jannah. I am not undermining the sunnah aspect of our deen, no. I am not undermining. I am not giving this message that because you are not performing your fara'id and because you are not carrying out your wajibat and because you are not abstaining from haram, these sunnats are useless for you. No, I am not saying that. I am not advocating that. What I am saying is that alhamdulillah, you are so lucky that despite neglecting fara'id, despite neglecting wajibat, and despite engaging in haram and makruhat-e-tahrimiyya, Allah loves you so much that He is still giving you the tawfiq to carry out the sunnats of His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah loves you. And if Allah loves you, then you should not confide yourself to the sunnats only. Progress. Sunnah muakkada, gair muakkada, sunnah muakkada, progress, wajib, faraiz. Target should be the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we mention episodes from the lives of our akabir, from the lives of our mashayikh, from the lives of our pious predecessors in regard to the sunnats, that Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very particular when it came to following the sunnats of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very particular when it came to the sunnats of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very particular when it came to the sunnats of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Qasim Nanutvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Shah Wali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi rahmatullahi, very, very particular when it came to the sunnats. Why are these episodes narrated in the lectures? They are narrated so that we reach this conclusion that farz, wajib, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, and then mustahabbat. Mustahabbat. If they were so particular in regard to mustahabbat, if they were so regular in relation to the mustahabbat, imagine their punctuality and imagine their connection with this sunnah ghair muakkada, then sunnah, then wajib, and then faraiz. That is what we learn. The lesson we learn from these episodes is not that they were very particular with these sunnats, but not sunnah muakkada, not wajibat, not, no. These episodes are not narrated for this reason. Sheikh Hammadullah Halejvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very pious personality of Pakistan. Sheikh Hammadullah Halejvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In his old age, only one tooth remained. Only one tooth. But he would never perform wudu without miswak. Only one tooth. But he would never perform wudu without miswak. From this, what do we learn? That Sheikh Hammadullah Halejvi rahimahullah ta'ala was very, very particular in regard to sunnats and mustahabbat. So that is all we hold fast to. No. We mention the lowest category, that sunnat is the lowest category when we discuss the various aspects of the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we come to this conclusion that if he was so particular in regard to this aspect of the way of life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is no chance that he would omit a farz. There is no chance that he would omit a wajib. There is no chance that he would go near haram or makruhat tahrimiya. This is what we deduce. Someone who is so particular in regard to miswak, would he omit a farz? Would he not come to the masjid to perform salat with jamaat when it is according to one opinion of the fuqaha sunnah muakkada, or the other opinion of the fuqaha it is wajib? No. Not possible. He would always perform salat with jamaat. And in spirituality, such people excel so much. Because replica of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Replica. Nobody can compete with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as far as the quality is concerned. So he will always brain high. But replica, to a certain extent, replica of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sheikh Hammadullah Halejvi rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his old age, or rather until his old age, his spiritual strength was so much that he would come to the masjid for Fajr Salah and would not leave the musalla until after Isha Salat. Until he passed away, this remained his ma'amul. He would arrive for the Fajr Salah and he would remain on the, he would lead the Salah himself. He would remain on the Musalla of the Imam until after Isha Salah. All meetings used to take place on the Musalla. Food would come to the Musalla because he would make the niyyah of Aitikaf from Fajr till Isha. He would only leave the masjid for his human needs. Abd. Abd. Ashik. Ashik of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullahu ta'ala. In his final moments, and probably this was his last wuzu of his life. He had been ill for many weeks. And slowly, his health was degrading. And now in his final moments, he is becoming unconscious, conscious again. And when he became conscious, he said, I would like to perform wudu. He was so near to departing from this world, that his attendants, the khuddam, were in so much grief that they forgot to present miswak to him whilst making him perform wudu. They were in so much grief that they forgot. That it was his lifetime habit to do miswak when performing wudu. But Shaykhul Hadith rahimahullah ta'ala in that state could not forget miswak. And he said, you have forgotten the miswak. Can I have miswak please? Somebody who is so particular in regard to a miswak, what would be the level of his faraid and wajibat? And when he departed from this world, he was saying, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem. One day I was just sitting in my home or somewhere else and I was thinking to myself when this episode came in my mind that why not Ya Rahman, why not Ya Rahim, why not Ya Qadir, why not Ya Allah, why Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, why particularly Kareem? Then it dawned upon me that Shaykhul Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi zahir and batin, his exterior and his interior was a replica of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Replica. And one of the qualities of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was he was down to earth. He was humble. Humble, down to earth. Shaykhul Hadith rahimahullah ta'ala, despite reaching a very high status in the spiritual world, before departing he was saying, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, out of this humility and humbleness that I am nothing, I don't deserve anything. Because who is Kareem? Kareem is generous. And Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi says, Kareem is that person, Alladhi yu'ti bidune istihqaq, the one who gives without the taker being deserving of it. So Shaykhul Hadith was so high in humbleness and humility that at the time of death he was saying, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, I am coming to your court, I am going to face you, forgive me and grant me Jannah despite my not deserving. This shows the highest level of his tawadu. So on one side we see his zahir, his exterior. When he is saying, give me miswak, according to the life of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, that I was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was unable to speak in his final moments now, and my brother Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu entered the room. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not say anything, so he continually stared at Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, who had a miswak in his hand. So he kept on
staring at the miswak. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I said, do you desire to do miswak? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I took it from my brother, I chewed it, and I made him do miswak. His exterior is like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And interior is like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdiyat. How can I face my creator? So he is saying, I have nothing. I have nothing as a result of which I can ask something from you. So I am saying, O Kareem, you are Kareem, and Kareem is he who gives without deserving. Forgive me and grant me your pleasure and Jannah without my deserving. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala. Final moments. He is on his deathbed. The tongue has become heavy. He is unable to say anything. He was wearing a pair of socks. And he wanted those socks to be taken off. So he is making a gesture with his eyes and with his head. And the attendants also understood that it is Hazrat's desire that the socks be taken off. So they started taking his socks off. And he pulled his feet away. From this gesture, they understood that Hazrat doesn't want the socks to be taken off. After a while, he gestured again. The same thing happened. After a while, he gestured again. The same thing happened. So they called Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Hazrat Ji, who was the beloved son of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and who would naturally understand his father's gestures more. Said, Hazrat desires something, can you please ask him? So again, Hazrat gestured with his head and with his eyes towards the feet. So Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that my father desires that his socks be taken off. They began. Again, Hazrat pulled his feet back. So the attendant said that, see Hazrat, it is something else that he desires. It's not that he wants his socks taken off. So Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, like his father, was very particular in regard to Sunnah. Like his cousin brother Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi, very particular in regard to Sunnah. So he said, this is what he desires, but you are making a mistake. When putting on socks, it is Sunnah to wear the right one first and then the left one. And when taking off socks, it is Sunnah to take the left one out first and thereafter the right one. You are taking the wrong one out first. We are healthy, we are well, no problems whatsoever, despite that we are unable to carry out a simple sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people had so much love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even whilst dying, they would not let go of the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ہم لوگ جیتے جاگتے بھی سنتوں پہ عمل نہیں کرتے اور وہ مرتے مرتے بھی سنتوں کو نہیں چھوڑتے تھے. It is this that elevated them. This sunnah. شیخ الہند مولانا محمود الحسن صاحب دیوبندی رحمہ اللہ تعالی was in the confinement of the jail in Malta. Every Friday, before Zawal, before the Juma Salat, he was not allowed outside his cell or outside the territory that was fixed for him. Every Friday, he would wake up in the morning and he would do everything that a normal average Muslim would do. A normal average religious Muslim would do. Trim his mustache. Clip his nails, clean his body, have a bath, put on washed clothes, itr, perfume, and then he would walk up to either the gate of the jail if he was allowed to, or up to the door of his cell. Unable to go for Juma Salah. So one day his companions, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah Ta'ala and the others asked him, and they said, Hazrat, every Friday you prepare for Juma Salat, despite knowing that you will not be able to go for Juma Salat.
Why do you prepare for Jummah Salat? So he said that on Friday, whatever we do, including the Jummah Salat, that is way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a whole package, way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Performing ghusl, part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Clipping the nails, part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trimming my mustache, part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Removing unwanted hair, part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having a bath, part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then ultimately, to go to the masjid and perform salat is part of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all parts of the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I am unable to carry out one part, why should I deprive myself of the other parts? Sunnah, my friend, sunnah. The whole way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we follow the whole way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will become abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense. And when a person becomes the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his true sense, individually, then Allah's help and nusrah will be with him on an individual basis. And if the whole ummah becomes ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with the whole ummah. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will adopt the whole way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man ahabba sunnati, one who loves my way, faqad ahabbani. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. One who loves my way has in reality loved me. And in another narration, man ahya sunnati, one who revives my whole way, faqad ahabbani, he has loved me. Wa man ahabbani, and one who loves me, kana ma'iyya fil jannah, he will be with me in Jannah. Having love for our Muslim brothers and sisters, that is part of his way. Not entertaining hatred, rancor, enmity, that is also part of the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not backbiting, part of the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Controlling the gaze, part of the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Safeguarding the ears from hearing wrong, part of the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this very hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Anas, inistata'ata, if you are able to do this, what? Antusbiha wa tumsiya, that you enter the morning or enter the evening. That means if you are able to do this in the morning, in the evening, and then obviously throughout the day, throughout the night, that walaysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin, you don't have any rancor for anything, anyone in your heart. No rancor, no hatred, no disliking for anybody. Fafa'al, then you should do that. Why? فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي, because it is part of my way. It is part of my way. This is also part of my way. So the whole deen is the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will from today follow the whole way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those unfortunate Muslim brothers and sisters who are far away from the majalis of the ulama, from the majalis of the mashayikh, from the environment of the masjid, from the environment of the madrasa, far away, they are unfortunate. But more unfortunate are those people, they are unfortunate. May Allah grant them fortunes of this world and the hereafter. But those people who frequently come into the environment of the masajid, who listen to the lectures, who sit in the company of the ulama and the mashayikh, but do not learn deen. No questions arise. I have performed my wudu in this way and this happened. Was my wudu valid or invalid? It's a question, and I am at the cafe. I can't ask anybody. So I should make a note of this. Because it has an effect on my salat, and if it has an effect on my salat, it affects my salat, and if it affects my salat, it affects my deen. And if it affects my deen, it affects my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I need to make a note of this and ask somebody. No, we never do that. Before going to the doctor, we make a list of things we want to speak to him about. I'm experiencing this, I'm experiencing this, why? Because if I don't declare it to him, it may be something affecting my health. Are we concerned about deen to that extent? No. Everybody's deen has reached a certain stage, and that is his deen. That is his deen. No change comes day in, day out. Those who are associated to the mashayikh, every week in the company of the Shaykh, every month in the company of the Shaykh, during the month of Ramadan in the company of the Shaykh, and we return with a boost. We return with a good feeling. We experience ecstasy because of the effect of the mahol, the environment, because of the effect of our Shaykh. But what change do we return with? Those of us who are associated to the Dawah and Tabligh movement, every year 40 days, every month 3 days, Taalim every day. But the life is same. The very first time we went for 40 days, a sudden change came in our life. And alhamdulillah, for the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, slowly, slowly changes continued to come in our lives. And then we came at a stand. It was like a cul-de-sac. Cul-de-sac, the car is there, the driver is there, but it's not progressing. We are in the car of the Tablighi movement, but it's a cul-de-sac as far as our progress is concerned. My friends, I am your well-wisher and I am your sympathizer. And when I am invited, I feel that I have been invited to point out those things which are a hindrance as far as our entry into Jannah is concerned. And I would not be doing justice if I keep those things in my heart which Allah is encouraging me to say. And I will not be doing justice, and I will not be able to answer on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I am asked. Whenever we listen to lectures, the bayan, baat of the ulama, we should not be biased. Ulama are the authority as far as deen is concerned. And then the authority also has stages, statuses. Grand Mufti of a country holds the highest status as far as the legality of deen is concerned. What we need to do is we need to connect ourselves to the ulama. We need to learn deen from our ulama. We need to attach ourselves to authentic sources, and learn our deen from authentic sources, and thereafter we need to have this concern that whatever I have learned, is my life according to it or not? And if not, then we need to do something about it. We need to try ourselves. If we are unable to sort it out ourselves, then we need to turn to the mashayikh, our mashayikh, and refer our problems. They are our GPs. They are our consultants. They are our surgeons. Let us make a firm resolution, my friends. Let us make a firm resolution that from today, we will try to learn the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the complete way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from authentic, reliable ulama, and we will practice anything that we learn, and we will propagate the same. With hikmah, with with wisdom, with a good admonition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to adopt the whole way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts the love of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a coincidence that when the azan of Maghrib was called today, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal dawned upon us, and we are going, passing through the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and it was only befitting that we talk about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam today, and make firm resolution that we connect ourselves to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If we do that, inshallah, we'll become successful in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاكك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us. O أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us. O the most merciful one have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving forgive our sins. Forgive our sins. Forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. forgive the sins of our families, forgive the sins of our associates, forgive the sins of our friends and families. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of our relatives, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the living and forgive the sins of the deceased. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our minor sins, forgive our major sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive each and every sin of ours. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to learn deen, to understand deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to follow deen. Grant us the tawfiq to propagate deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to do those things which please you. Grant us the tawfiq to abstain from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, include us amongst your Ibadur Rahman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, include us amongst your Ibadur Rahman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the quality of Abdiyat. Grant us the attribute of Abdiyat. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us complete Abdiyat. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make us your servants in its true sense. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make us your servants in its true sense. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to carry out the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunan muakkada, the sunan ghair muakkada, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. Grant us the tawfiq to abstain from every haram, every makruh tahrimi and every makruh tanzihi. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to do those things which bring your nearness and pleasure. Grant us the tawfiq to abstain from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with your remembrance. Enlighten our hearts with the love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten our hearts with good traits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts from evil traits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts from the love for this filthy world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us alive in this world, keep us steadfast on Islam and Iman. When you take us from this world, take us with Iman. Take us with your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, take us with your nearness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, emanating from our tongues. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, make reckoning easy for us. Grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us entry into Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the reverence and with the love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to revere the ulama. Grant us the tawfiq to value their presence. Grant us the tawfiq to utilize them as much as possible. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to sit in the company of the ulama and the mashayikh. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to benefit from them. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to pay attention to our tazkiyah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts. Purify our hearts. Purify our hearts. Make our nufus nufuse mutmainna. Make our nufus nufuse mutmainna. Make our nufus nufuse mutmainna. O Arhamur Rahimeen, transfer our nufuse ammara into nufuse mutmainna. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. Become pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are sinful. We are sinful, O Arhamur Rahimeen. We have committed so many sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, day in, day out, we disobey you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, despite our disobedience, you quench our thirst. You satiate us. You clothe our bodies. You grant us every ni'mat that we require. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to become grateful to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to become grateful to you. Grant us the tawfiq to become grateful to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to emulate your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of our Salafus Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen. Grant us the tawfiq to do those things which take us into Jannah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Allah, grant us acceptance. Grant us acceptance. Grant us maqbooliyat. Grant us acceptance in your court. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance in your court. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us every khair of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, remove every difficulty of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. Every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us protection from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Accept this 6th annual youth conference organized by Jami Masjid Batli. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, make it a means of Hidayah coming into our lives. Make it a means of our becoming your awliya. Make it a means of our becoming Ibadur Rahman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, make it a means of Hidayah spreading out throughout the corners of the world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, nothing is difficult for you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this conference acceptance. Grant this conference acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept the speeches of the speakers. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, penetrate each and every good word that every speaker has said into the hearts of the attendees. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant all of us the tawfiq to practice upon whatever we have learned. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant barakah in the ulum, in the fuyuz and in the khulus of the akabir and of the ulama of Batli. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant barakat and blessings and in all the masajid, in all the madaris, in all the Muslim schools, in all the Islamic activities taking place in Batli and Dewsbury. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant acceptance to each and every person that made effort towards making this conference a success. And ilaha al-alameen, accept this conference in your court until the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, whatever we have asked from you, grant it to us. And whatever we should have asked from you but were unable to, grant us all those things also. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma ighfir lana wa liwalidina wa li asatidhatina wa li mashayikhina wa li muhibbina wa li muhsinina wa li ahlina wa liman lahu haqqun alayna wa liman awsana bid-du'a wa li jami'il mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka samiun qaribun mujibud da'awat. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.